Amen. Good evening. All right, turn your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 8. I'm going to read verse 10. And if you'll stand, will you find your place for the reading of the word? So, Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10. It says, "Then he said unto them, Go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry for the Lord, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." And if you turn over to Nehemiah 12:43, just one verse, it says, "Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God hath made them rejoice with great joy. The wives also and the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even far off." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just want to thank you, Father, for being here, worshiping you. Father God, I pray for those who are traveling. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you keep them safe. I just pray, Lord, that you give Pastor the much-needed rest. And Father God, I pray, Lord, that we may hear from you tonight. And Father God, I pray, Lord, that I may decrease, Father, so that you may increase. Father God, just thank you for your wonderful joy, your knowledge, your wisdom, your faithfulness to your people. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. The journey home. Everybody in the Bible, from Nehemiah to John the Baptist, to Jesus, was on a journey. How did they get there? Nehemiah, how did they get to the celebration part? In life, we're born. Well, from the time of conception, we're on a journey. We're growing. We're growing inside the womb, getting food from the mother. As soon as that's done, 9 months later, we're born. From then, we're on a journey from grade school, elementary, junior high, high school, get out of college or go to college, and some go to the workforce. You get married, you have kids, then you become a parent, grandparent. And after that, you journey on home. Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer. And he seen a need. The need he saw in Jerusalem was great. He was on a journey. Most of our missionaries, they go out on a journey. Nehemiah 1, verse 4, we're going to back up and see what happened during this journey and why they got to the place of celebration. Nehemiah 1, verse 4, "And it came to pass, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." Nehemiah heard the bad news that the city was in ruins. He heard the walls were down, they were burned, and Nehemiah was burdened. Our missionaries go out to cities in ruins all over the world, knowing that the cities are in ruin. Well, what do you mean in ruin? Impoverished cities, they need spiritual food, and they need food. And they need the word of God. And I was listening to our missionaries, how they talked about where they are, like in South Korea. And how he said that the Muslim community has grown there. The city is in ruins because they have a false god. But Nehemiah was burdened. So when you're on that journey, the first thing you should do, when you're on a journey through life, it's certain days you need to pray and fast. And you need to give it up to God. In verse 5, he said, "And said, I beseech thee, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth the covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine eye be attentive, and let thine eyes be open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned." We should be praying for America right now because they have sinned. We should be wondering, what can God do? Well, God can do everything. But you need to pray and fast that God does something quickly. We had two shootings, well, three if you count today, at a park in a matter of a couple months. We need to pray. We need to realize that our city, our country is in ruins. So as you go out and as you talk to people, realize that you only have a little bit of time on your journey to talk to people. As you go on your way and you travel and you travel and you travel, you're going to get to a stopping point one day. And you're going to give an account for your journey here on earth. So while you're here, I'm going to give you some tips on how the journey could be smooth for you, but it's not going to be easy. Nehemiah lived in the Persian city of Susa. Again, and he was a cupbearer. But he wanted to help the city in ruins. You have to be bold if you're going to go out. Our missionaries are bold. They go into a city where Christianity is hated. But they have to be bold to speak the word of God. When you knock on somebody's door, you can't say, "Well, I just want to check on you just to see if you want to go to church." Jesus saves, right? Jesus saved. Can you come to church with us and learn about our God? You have to be bold about it, because if not, you will lose in this journey. People will run over you. People will deceive you. Nehemiah felt sorry for the city. While you're on your journey, there are some things you need to realize. You need to right all your wrongs. Nehemiah in chapter 5. Now, this coming from internally in the camp. But you have to do what is right. Right all the wrongs. In Nehemiah 5. "And there was a great cry of the people against," people and of their wives against their brethren. "For there were that said, we our sons and daughters are many. Therefore we take up corn for them that we may eat and live. Some also there were there said, that said, we have mortgaged our lands, vineyards, and houses that we might buy corn because of the dearth." Here, they're in financial turmoil because of their brethren, because of people inside. The fact of life is that it was from the inside that they were selling themselves to other people. If you look down in verse 5, it says, Yet now our flesh is as of the flesh of our brethren, our children as their children. And lo, we bring into bondage our sons and daughters to be servants. And some of our daughters are brought unto bondage already. Neither is it in our power to redeem them, for other men have our lands and our vineyard. And I was very angry when I heard their cry in these words. Then I consulted with thyself, and I rebuked the nobles and the rulers, and said unto them, ye is at usury at every one of his brother, and I set a great assembly against them. So you're going to meet obstruction. And you got to tell it like it is, and you got to face your problems head on. Nehemiah was angered about what they were doing to the people, and he spoke up. And I said unto them, we after our ability have redeemed our brethren, the Jews, which were sold unto the heathen. And we will even sell your brethren, or shall be sold unto us. Then held they their peace and found nothing to answer. He confronted them for their wrongdoing. Nehemiah faced all the wrongs. Internal affliction. There are sometimes you may have to confront a brother or sister in Christ, but do it in love, but don't put up with foolishness. Amen? You may have a brother or sister that may have wronged you, and on your journey of life, people are going to wrong you. You must have thought Christianity was going to be so easy, but it's not. Getting married is not easy. It's all hunky-dory at first, right? I love you, babe. You love me. Hey, you see me? I see you, right? I love you, right? You say that for a couple years, and next thing you know, I hate you. Oh, I can't stand you. Oh, your cooking sucks. Oh, you can't drive. So all of that goes on after a while. In a body of believers, you will have the same thing, right? People are going to get friction. What you got to do is fight it head on. But use the Bible here to correct all the wrongs. Don't use your opinion. Come to a brother and then get another brother. If you're still doing wrong, go to the pastor. That's how you solve things in the house of God. And that's what Nehemiah did. So on your journey of life, solve your problems with God, because you will meet obstruction. Everything is not going to be hunky-dory. When you become a Christian and you get saved, God doesn't take you up into heaven, because there's work to do. There's a journey he's going to put you on. And some people may go to Israel. Some people may go to South Korea, Japan, China. God's going to put you on a journey. And what you do during that journey, use Nehemiah for an example. He sought after God. He said, well, let me consult with the king, but I got to pray to my God. And he went out. And if you remember, the king asked him, why are you so afraid? But when he prayed to God, when he came up, he was a little bolder and a little stronger. So you have to right all the wrongs in your life. The second thing I give you is you got to keep your guard up, like Nehemiah did. Turn to Nehemiah 6, in chapter 6. All right, chapter 6. We're talking about his enemy, Sanballat and Tobiah. In verse 3, well, in verse 2, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messages unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so I cannot come down. Why should the work cease, whilst I leave it and come down to you? So, you're doing a good work for God. You meet obstruction. What do you do? Don't stoop to that level. Why should I come to you and stop my work that I'm doing for God? If God called you to do something, people will try to stop you to do it. It's your job to realize, hey, I'm not going to come down because I don't want my work to stop. Because if my work stops, people depend on me. These kids depend on me. You know, if you're in the youth ministry. But again, he had enemies. And then if you look in verse 5, then sent Sanballat his servant unto me like manner in the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Geshem saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel. So he was doing a good work. They accuse him of rebelling. But again, he gave the same answer over and over. He sent 5 times. So the devil's going to come at you more than once in life. That's something that you need to realize. It's not going to be 1 time, 2 times, 3 times, 4 times, 5. It's going to be more times he's going to try to get you off track. But you got to stand firm, like Nehemiah said, I'm not coming. I'm not doing this. You got to remind the devil, hey, you know where you're going to be in some years, huh? Do you know where you're really going to be? Remind him his destiny. that he's going to be burning forever and forever and forever and forever. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, not for people, but some people don't want to receive Christ. When they don't receive Christ as the personal Savior, they are condemned already. So keep in mind that you're going to meet obstruction. And when you do, you're going to have somebody that tells you that you're not doing a great job. And it could be in your own family. It could be a church member. You know, you didn't really sing that song like that. I know you didn't. Was that really God? God's work must keep going no matter what. It must keep going. In chapter 7, now it came to pass, I'm in verse 1, when the wall was built and I had set up the doors and the porters and the singers and the Levites were appointed, that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. He was a faithful man and feared God above many. And I said unto them, let not the gates of Jerusalem be open until the sun be hot. And while they stand by, let them shut the doors and bar them and appoint watches. You got to start with faithful men. We should watch the doors of the church. We should watch out for our families. But serve somebody that's going to be faithful. On verse 4 it says, now the city was large and great, but the people were few therein, and their houses were not builded. God's work must keep going. The teaching, the preaching, the training, the baptizing must keep going, no matter what. Now, another thing we must do is feed the starving people who are starving for the word of God. See, Nehemiah had a plan, but he consulted God first. In Nehemiah chapter 8, and it said, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra, the scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Now, the book was read. Now we're printing 19 containers. We're printing thousands and thousands of Bibles. Some people had never heard the word of God before. So that's a blessing to us to be able to spread the word of God, to keep teaching, to keep preaching, to keep training, to keep baptizing. Feed the starving people. In a city of rivers, you normally have people starving. For not just spiritual water, but water itself. And what I mean by that, let the river flow. Let the word of God flow. In a city of ruins, in a war-torn city, you have people who are there, who are starving, who are looking for somebody to look up to, a command. It's amazing how we go as a country and we fight a war, and we set up command there to help the people. But it's time we help our people here as well. It is time. Nehemiah was a man of great faith. Not only that, he trusted God. And when he trusted God, he had joy. Think of us as Christians. We eat fleshly food. When we go out or we call for an event, kind of like Brother Gerald said, when we call for an event over here, say bring finger food, it's like a buffet. We make a whole spread, right? We feed ourselves and we celebrate and we fellowship and we do all that. But then we come together and we worship God. Turn with me to Philippians 3:1. On the joy of God, the joy. Philippians 3:1 states that finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Paul went through a lot. Here he's writing a letter, and he said, be joyful. He said, rejoice in the Lord. So whatever you're going through in life, rejoice. On your journey of life, you need to rejoice. Rejoice in knowing that your journey is not in vain. Paul was shipwrecked. Paul was put in prison. They sought to kill Paul, but he still rejoiced. Think of Jesus. When Jesus went out, there were people trying to kill Jesus. Did he stop? No, he didn't. He gave up his life and said, it is finished. He didn't stop. He met obstruction from the Pharisees. He didn't stop. We must not stop. We must not stop. But the joy of the Lord to write the same things to you, to me, it is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware, beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. Beware. Then it says, For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. All his confidence is in Christ. That's where all your confidence needs to be when you're going through your journey. In Christ. All your confidence, all your strength, all your mercy. Everything should be in Christ, not flesh. Your flesh will fail you. It will fail you time and time again. Have you worked 12 hours before or 16 hours before and stayed up late and you're tired? Your flesh is weak. Have you tried looking at something without reading your Bible? Or do you get up in the morning and your flesh is weak and you eat first before you read your Bible? Right? The flesh is weak. That's why you got to keep reading and reading and reading your Bible. Reading and reading and reading your Bible. You have to keep being around Christians, worshiping God in true. Our word is truth. The word is truth of God. And you need to worship him in spirit and truth. Turn me to Isaiah 12 and verse 3. It says, therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Joy. Don't hide your joy. In verse 1, I'm going to go back to verse 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. The Lord, I will praise thee. Thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou hast comforted me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Trusting in God and not being afraid on your journey of life. Not being afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of man. Afraid of the people at work. Afraid of your enemies. Don't be afraid of anything on your journey of life. Your joy is in the Lord. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things that is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Joy. Joy, unspeakable joy. You have joy and you have hope. You must not let your enemies or anyone get you down, but through life, you need to make sure that the joy is within. Not from your fleshy things, not from the toys you buy, not from all the stuff you can accomplish, you know, your education, or your certificates. None of that. It should come from the Lord himself. Amen. Turn me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. Hoping the finished work of Christ. So on your journey, you need to be bold. Knowing that you're going to fail once, fail twice, fail three times. Knowing that you're going to be provoked. But here it says in verse in chapter 6, verse 17, wherein God willing more abundantly to shew unto the heirs of promise the immobility of his counsel confirmed by an oath, that by two immutable things in which was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Hope. Which hope we have an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into within the veil. The hope, the divine hope. Jesus Christ defeated everything so that we might live, and on this journey of life, we might have somebody standing beside us, fighting for us as Jesus Christ. The devil will try any and everything to take us off course. People will take us off course. But we have to remain on the course, because that road to our Jerusalem is straight and narrow. And we must keep on pressing on and keep fighting on. Let's talk about somebody else that was on the journey. Joseph. Didn't his brother sell him all because of a coat? Did he give up? Or did he keep pressing on? And later on through Joseph's life, his journey of life, he became the king. His brothers and all his family, he fed. Remember how he had dreams? Remember how he dreamed of all this stuff and it came to pass? Joseph went on a journey. He was sold. His own family sold him. His brother sold him. But he did not let that bother him to where he could not be blessed by God. Sometimes you have backstabbers in your own family and you got to keep moving. Turn me to Romans 5:11. It says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. He paid for it all. So you see, they were celebrating because the walls were built. They put guards up. And he said, now we can eat and feast. One day we're going to be eating and feasting with God. One day when he calls us up there and we meet him in the clouds, we get to feast with God. We get to rule and reign on our journey of life. It's going to be tough down here, but once we get up there, it'll be all worth it. They were celebrating down here in Nehemiah, but our great celebration is going to be much, much more. Nehemiah was very faithful, but he didn't do it alone. He did it with God. Verse 12, in Romans 5, verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin enter into the world, and death by sin, and so death pass upon all men, for they all have sinned. So, knowing this to be true, one day you're going to die. If you know one day you're going to die, what are you going to do now about it? What are you going to do now? You know that you're going to die. You know. The person sitting next to you is going to die. You know this. So what are you going to do now on your journey of life before you die? What are you going to do? You're going to play church or are you going to get with it? When the tough gets going, the devil hits you once or twice. Are you going to come down or are you going to be like Nehemiah and say, not doing it, not happening? All right. He sent his messengers out. He didn't go down because there's work to be done. So while you're here on earth, there's work to be done here. Soul winning, training, discipleship, teaching. Our work here is not done. I was listening to the prayer requests and someone said, pray for my lost relatives. I have lost relatives. And I have people right now, I have my brother in the hospital right now that is waiting on a heart. So what are you going to do? Well, I've already worshiped to him. He was saved last year. Praise God. But what are you going to do about your other family members that are not saved? Because I have a lot of family members that are not saved and thinking they can just party and they're going to check out of here and everything's going to be grandy and hunky-dory. Not for everybody. But what are you doing now? You have the ability now to pick the phone up, to text someone, to call someone, to Facebook someone, whatever, email someone. You have all these devices that you can communicate on this one app where you can do all of that. Witness to them. Pick up the phone and call them. You don't have to pay for long distance anymore, right? So you can't say, oh, it costs me too much money. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Timothy. And what Paul said to Timothy. 1 Timothy 1 verse 12. He says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. Key word enable. For that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Counted me faithful. Faithfulness. If you're doing something for the God, be faithful in it. Be faithful. Don't flake off. Don't be part-time. Be faithful. In verse 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. So Paul said, I was all this, but God gave me mercy. Then I was faithful to him, and he put me in the ministry. Paul did a lot of bad things to Christians, but God gave him mercy. We all have done bad things in life that we're not proud of, that nobody else knows but you. But God still has mercy to forgive you and to put you in the ministry where you should be and where you need to be. You say, well, I don't want to serve in the ministry, Brother Terry. I don't like teaching the class. I don't like standing in front of people. Neither do I. I was pretty nervous today. I was down here at 4:30 today until now. That's how nervous I was. I came straight from work and came here to speak to you through God. So being in the ministry doesn't mean you got to stand in front of people. You can just be like Miss Joanne and she send birthday cards home. How many of you got a birthday card from Miss Joanne? Right? Amen. That's ministry. And how old is she? Exactly. So what's your excuse? Serving in the ministry, I watched Brother David serve in the ministry. He's young, he's energetic, moves like this all around, but he serves. I've watched people teach classes here. Brother Cheryl and Brother Gerald and Sister, I'm sorry, tongue twisted. But I watched people in the ministry. I watched pastor be faithful in the ministry. I watched these missionaries get up. They give up all this comfort in the U.S. to go somewhere else. God said, you're faithful. He put them somewhere. If you're faithful to God, he will put you where you need to be. And he will take care of you, no matter if you're in a foreign country or Midland, Texas or Florida or wherever. You can serve God wherever he puts you. He may not put you in sunny California. You probably want to go there anyway, but he won't put you there if he don't want you there. But Paul is saying, this is a faithful saying, verse 15, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. He said, I'm the chief sinner. I persecuted Christians. I am the chief sinner. He said, and he saved me. I know he can save you. So he can save your loved ones. So there's still hope. While the blood is pumping warm in your veins, there's still hope that your loved ones could be saved. There's still hope that on down here, you can still have joy. God said, well, Jesus said, I came here so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He didn't say every day as a Christian life is going to be hard, but he said, I give you life and give it to you more abundantly. You're saved already. I will give you the tools you need to do your job. What is a mechanic with no tools? What is a Christian without his Bible? So if you're not reading your Bible, this is the tool for us to go out and share the gospel. When a salesman comes to your door and they're selling stuff and they're selling these expensive solar panels, they come with a little pen and a little calculator and they want to check all this stuff. Hey, can I see your light bill so I can just run some numbers real quick? You go to somebody's house and say you're a Christian and don't have your Bible, you're a joke. Paul said, I'm the chief sinner. Now unto the King, in verse 17, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. What Paul is saying is that I was a blasphemer, a persecutor. Now you can fill in the blanks what you were, and I can fill in the blanks what I were, but if it weren't for the mercy of God, I wouldn't be where I am today. Paul said it best. Paul said it best. He admitted he was a sinner. He admitted that he didn't deserve anything. He did all this stuff and he wasn't proud of it. But what Paul had was faithfulness. He went through a lot and he didn't get off course. I'm going to read you a verse in Romans. Romans 5:3, I'm going to read it. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation works with patience, and the patience experience, and experience hope. What is it saying? You're going to have tribulation. You may have it often, but it's experience. When you hire somebody to work at a restaurant, and you want somebody to be a manager, but they fresh out of high school or they never been a manager before for a fast food place, how can they be a benefit to you? How can you? Everybody has a testimony, right? So with experience, if you've been through something, I can guide my brother through something if I've been through it. Experience. Experience is the best teacher to some teenagers because they don't get it. Experience. Trials and tribulations are the best for Christians. I don't pray for trials and tribulations, but I know they come. I have lost my job before, and it wasn't funny. I've been there before where I went from making this much a year to zero all in a 2-minute conversation. And I tell you, it was a gut-wrenching experience. How am I going to go home and support my family, but then I was able to help somebody else out, and somebody helped me out. So now I can give encouragement to somebody who have lost their job before. God uses us in many ways. My father passed away at 14, so I didn't have a father figure growing up. But I learned from that. He didn't get to see me graduate high school. He didn't get to see me walk through that when I graduated from the Marine Corps. But I can be able to teach somebody else to say, hey, it's okay. God is your Heavenly Father. Depend on Him. You know, we go through things in life through our journey. But you shouldn't complain about it. Psalm 78. It talks about how God and the people of Israel, how the people murmured after God did all this for them. He guided them, by cloud and by fire. He guided them through. And they complained. And an 11-day trip took 40 years because they complained. So when you're going through life, a journey of life, don't complain. Don't murmur against God. He gave them manna. He gave them everything. He gave them water. They said, well, you ought to kill me. Lesson number four, God is not out to kill you. He's out to help you. An 11-day trip took 40 years because of their complaining and murmuring and not trusting God. Don't let your journey be in circles before you get to where you're going. Because eventually when you get there, you can say, wow, I could have been here sooner, but God took me on a detour because of my stubbornness. And that's what happened. Sin. Sin caused that. And I'm going to read you something. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you as much as you want to pay. That's what sin does to your life. It takes you where you don't want to go and you're going to stay too long. And it's going to cost you more. Cost me what? Could cost you life. In the Bible, you can read about some examples of where sin affected from generation to generation to generation. What you do now in your life can affect your kids' life and your grandkids' life and your great-grandkids' lives. All because of sin. So through this journey of life, if you haven't learned anything, learn this. Be bold. Stand fast. Don't let the devil distract you. Remember, the joy is within. And don't complain. Because nobody likes complainers. Neither do your wives, right? How many husbands say they had a triple B? A buttermilk brick biscuit. You can break a glass with that, right? Let us stand and be dismissed.